A proposed transmission line in western Wisconsin is in the works and facing some local pushback. The project is known as the Cardinal Hickory Creek Transmission Line. If it's approved, it would start to the west of Madison and run through Dane, Iowa, Grant, and Lafayette counties, ending up in Dubuque County, Iowa. We'll hear the case for and against this project, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you live in the area that this planned transmission line would go through, is this something you're paying attention to? What do you think of it? Are you concerned about how it affects the environment, the scenery in your area, or do you think it's needed for reliable power in your part of the state? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. The project is being proposed by American Transmission Company, ITC Transmission, and Dairyland Power. A note to listeners, American Transmission Company is a WPR underwriter. Kaya Freeman is a communications representative with American Transmission Company. Kaya, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
We'll talk about the need for this line. From your perspective, why is this a needed project?
Sure. The Cardinal Hickory Creek project is a 345,000-volt project that has been proposed starting back in actually 2011. It was proposed and approved as a slate of 17 multi-value projects throughout the upper Midwest that were planned and designed to provide a number of benefits. The first is reliable electricity. The second is access to lower cost power. And the third is access to renewable energy.
Yeah, let's talk about those each in turn. First, as far as costs, it'll cost something to build these. Are ratepayers going to see rates go up related to the construction of a line like this?
This is a unique project in how the cost is laid out. This is a cost-shared project. The cost of it is shared throughout the upper Midwest. And while the cost of construction is estimated to be about $500 million, Wisconsin ratepayers are expected to pay about $66 million. While there is a cost involved with construction, there are also economic benefits. There have been numerous cost-benefit studies done starting back in 2011. At the regional level, MISO, which is the grid operator that oversees the system throughout the upper Midwest, looked at this project along with others and did an analysis of the cost and benefits, showing that this project and the others would provide significant benefit to the entire region. That's why they're cost shared. So they did that in 2011 initially, did it again in 2014, and again in 2017. So every 3 years they review it and look at the cost and benefits for it. Now that our project is before the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin, there has been a specific cost benefit analysis done for Wisconsin ratepayers. So it looks at the amount of money that ratepayers will pay for the project. So that's about $66 million out of the $500 million cost, and the benefits that they will receive. And the projected benefits for Wisconsin ratepayers are up to $350 million.
And talk about energy reliability. Do we have demand going up enough that there's a need for this new transmission capacity?
Well, electric reliability is different than demand. Mm. This project has numerous drivers, reliability, access to lower cost power, and access to renewable energy, and it's not following demand growth. Demand growth is modest. At the state level, I believe it's about 0.5%, and at the national level, I believe it's somewhere in that range as well. So when folks may hear that demand is declining or going down, that's simply not the case. Demand is still growing. It's just at a lower rate than the historically high levels. How this project improves electric reliability? Well, essentially, our transmission lines serve as the interstate highway for power. It allows us to move a lot of power from a lot of different sources very reliably because we have the space to do it. So if you want to, for instance, reliably transport any type of materials on the interstate, you can generally do it pretty reliably in a reasonable amount of time without the bottlenecks of the lower roads, highways, and smaller areas. This project similarly would create a connection, an interstate connection between Wisconsin and Iowa, and these larger lines serve the lower voltage lines. So everywhere that you see a line in a community like Madison or any area in southwest Wisconsin or Iowa, that community is served by generally lower voltage transmission lines, maybe a 69,000 volt transmission line, 138,000 volt transmission line. This line is a 345,000 volt transmission line. Those lines are located throughout the state, other states, and the country, of course, and they allow power to be moved very efficiently, and they allow people who need to purchase the power, the utilities, to buy the most cost-effective power and to buy the sources of generation that they wish to purchase. Increasingly, that is renewable energy, and that's evidenced in the changing energy landscape. When you look at it, beyond the reliability that a line like this offers, it also really opens up the marketplace. You see generation retirements coming at historic levels. We have about 10 gigawatts of planned retirement coming.
That means shutting down a coal plant, for
correct,
example.
Correct. And that is significant. 10 gigawatts is about 10 million homes. A line like this allows us to provide access to replacement power. When you take those plants offline, you need to have access to the newer sources of power. And that helps us maintain a reliable system.
Talking to Kaya Freeman from American Transmission Company about a proposed power line across southwestern Wisconsin. To your calls now, we'll go to Ed on the line in Dodgeville. Ed, hi. Ed, are you there? Not hearing Ed. Let's try John with us in Ridgeway. John, hello. John, are you there? Okay. Wonder if we've had a relapse of our phone problems from yesterday. We'll try that again at 800-642-1234. Kaya, a common objection is, hey, this is southwestern Wisconsin.
Hello.
Driftless, a very scenic. This is going to be something that disrupts the scenery and the environment of the area.
We have heard that, and one of the reasons why not only we look to minimize impacts by siding with existing infrastructure, the state also requires it. So how do you minimize new impacts, minimize impacts to different areas? You site infrastructure where it already exists. If people look at the project maps, they will see that our preferred route largely follows existing infrastructure. And there is existing infrastructure in this area in the way of existing transmission lines and an existing four-lane highway. We have heard many comments, and we work as best as possible to try to minimize these impacts, because we understand that people do have an interest in these projects and they value their areas. And the best way that we've found we can do this is following existing infrastructure.
Let's try one more time with the caller. John is with us in Ridgeway, we hope. John, hi.
Yep.
There you are.
Thank you.
What do you want to bring up, John?
Oh, a couple things. You know, they're saying they're allocating the cost to other states in the MISO area. But there were 16 prior projects which all were allocated costs to Wisconsin ratepayers. So why is it fair to say that Wisconsin ratepayers are only responsible for $66 million of a $500 million project that goes only through Wisconsin?
All right, John, I thanks for the call. Kaya, I'm not sure what he's getting at.
Yes, I understand the question. What he is asking about is the fact that these projects are cost-shared. There were 17 projects that were cost-shared throughout the entire MISO footprint.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So 17 of them. And when they planned, proposed, and designed these, looking at the numerous benefits they would provide to the region, they allocated that the costs be shared throughout the area. So Wisconsin has paid for 10 to 15% of these other 16 projects. This is the last of those projects. Wisconsin would pay for 10 to 15%. We're estimating that at about $66 million. And to that point, we have invested in the regional grid. And this is the last project. This is the project that completes the entire network and allows us to deliver the significant benefits. So essentially, Wisconsin, for a very small investment, gets all of the benefits of this regional transmission line. Some of those include enabling access for 25 gigawatts of wind power to get on here. This network of 17 projects is planned to do it. It's also planned to lower emissions. It's an important project. That's why they did determined that we should cost share them. And the caller is correct that the costs were shared by Wisconsin as well as the other states for all 17 projects.
And as we wrap up, Kyle, what are the next steps for the project?
Right now, the project is under numerous regulatory reviews. It is being reviewed by the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin. It's being reviewed by the Iowa Utilities Board. And there is a NEPA process that's going on as well to review the project. So there are significant reviews going on as far as the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin that may be of most interest because we're on Wisconsin Public Radio, of course. There will be technical hearings, public hearings, lots of opportunities for public input. There were scoping sessions recently, and the commission has a wealth of information on their site. If people want to learn more about this project, if people are hearing things about this project, and if people want to look at the analysis for this project, I advise them to look at that site. They can see all of the information. They can follow the proceedings, and they can definitely review down to a great level of detail all that we have to say about this project and all that others have to say about it.
Kaya, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Kaya Freeman, a communications representative from American Transmission Company, with us to talk about the utility's proposed transmission line running from Dubuque County, Iowa to just west of Madison. Coming up, we'll hear from a group that is opposed to the project, and you can still join in with your thoughts and questions about the Cardinal Hickory Creek transmission line at 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. We continue our conversation about the Cardinal Hickory Creek transmission line, a project that would bring power, connect power from Dubuque County, Iowa through western Wisconsin, a line ending west of Madison. We just heard from one of the companies involved in the project. We hear now from someone opposed to the project, and you can still join in at 800-642-1234, especially if you live in that part of the state. What are your thoughts on this proposed transmission line? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Mike Van Sicklin is the board president of the Driftless Area Land Conservancy. Mike, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, tell us why you are worried about this project. You don't think it's needed.
Okay. 2 points. First, as a president of the Driftless Area Conservancy, it contravenes our core mission of protecting the rural landscape and the people of southwest Wisconsin. Driftless covers a 5-county area, and we place conservation easements on property. And so this line would directly contravene the purpose of our organization and cross and be near many of our conservation easements. Secondly, as an individual, I oppose it because I believe in grassroots democracy, and I believe this is just a pay-to-play opportunity by ATC. I would note that the two counties most affected, Iowa County and Dane County, have intervened in the proceeding against it to represent the interests of their constituents, as well as numerous towns and villages.
And we've heard from the company that, okay, yes, this is a new power line. It's going to follow existing infrastructure, other power lines, highways, so that they're making the case it won't be all that disruptive. What do you say to that?
I disagree, obviously. I note that Vilas Hall here is 7 stories high. These power poles are going to be roughly 17 stories high, crossing a landscape where most buildings are 2 or 3 stories high at most. It's going to be crossing very important view sheds, like in front of Blue Mountain State Park, or if it's the alternate route next to Governor Dodge State Park. And it's going to detract from the rural atmosphere of the area. It's going to hurt landowners along that path and deter investment capital, I believe, and businesses and the like.
One of the hopes here is that this could help promote alternative energy, so maybe the cost to the view, the landscape, might be balanced out by the benefits in terms of climate change, say.
And again, I would disagree with that. First, I think the other speaker noted or acknowledged that there's no need for this power in Wisconsin. The former chair of the PSC spoke in this very room last year and noted that Wisconsin has an excess of power. And so there's no need to import power from the West to us. So there's no need for the line to go in. Secondly, Wisconsin has a very reliable grid. It's ranked number 7 in the country according to U.S. News and World Report. It's an A reliability state. And so again, the reliability argument they advance, I think, does not make sense. And then as far as the alternative you know, the green energy argument, we're going to bring in renewable energy from the West. I think that's fallacious as well. First, this would be what's called an open access line. And by law, that means that it carries all types of generated power, including coal, nuclear, gas, as well as wind and solar. The best estimates we've gotten is that the green energy that would be used on this line is a distinct minority of the total power. Conversely, it discourages the investment of renewable energy sources here in Wisconsin. Right now, we have two gigantic green energy facilities going in. One just came online, the Quilt Block wind power facility down in the Darlington area. One is in the process of being constructed, which is the Badger Hollow Solar Farm out by Dodgeville. That would be the largest solar farm east of the Mississippi and one of the largest in the United States. Both of those facilities came to Wisconsin irrespective of ATC. They don't need ATC. The solar farm has admitted in writing, given to the Iowa County Board, that they don't have any present plan to use the ATC line. And so by circumventing and discouraging local investment of facilities built by Wisconsin, you know, employees, I think that's counterproductive for our state.
Talking to Mike Van Sicklen, board president of the Driftless Area Land Conservancy. We're talking about this proposed transmission line running through much of southwestern Wisconsin. We'll go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Terry is on the line in Milwaukee. Terry, hi.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. I welcome your guest. The Paul Harvey side of the story is always important. My comment had to do with the security aspect of it. Your first guest commented about how with this much larger line with a capacity to carry much more energy, we may not need a lot of these smaller secondary distribution lines. Well, that sounds wonderful, except what if someone from a Homeland Security standpoint takes out one of those towers or lightning strikes or something happens? Instead of 10,000 people being out of energy, now you have 250,000 people out of energy. So I'm just wondering, has someone looked at this from a Homeland Security standpoint and from a practical standpoint in terms of how many people are going to be affected when something bad happens?
Gotcha. Terry, thanks for the call. Is that a part of the story you've been tracking, Mike?
Only in a very special, I guess, segment of that, and that is not the Homeland Security, but out in California, we had all these recent huge fires. There's been a lot of study of the fact that these large power lines are vulnerable to these fires, and it can create the kind of problem that Terry, our last caller, just mentioned.
Thanks for the call, Terry. We'll go next to John with us in Janesville. John, hi.
How are you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, John?
I was wondering the last time that they did that, put in the big power lines that followed 12 and 18, turned down I-90, went past Highway N, I think it is, and turned right there. They took out all the trees and leveled down all the mountains and stuff, all the hills. They took everything out. I stopped and I asked them when they were working on it, because they kept taking out more trees, I said, are you going to replace these trees? And they go, oh, yes, they will all be replaced. That's been years. They've never replaced them.
John, thanks for the call. Any thoughts on, I guess, landscape restoration, tree restoration when these lines go through?
It's pretty difficult to replace the type of landscapes that would be destroyed here. No, they do not reforest it with old growth trees and the like they take down. This would be devastating to the appearance of southwest Wisconsin.
All right, John, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Ivy with us in Evansville. Ivy, hello.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My problem with this is whenever you have power lines, you lose energy along the line. And I don't understand why we don't invest in, like, localized energy, like rooftop solar. As long as we're going to invest and pay for all this stuff as taxpayers, why not support that kind of thing where it's right on site? And there's no loss to energy, and there's no, destruction of the landscape. So that's my question.
Ivy, thanks for the call. I'll throw that to you, Mike. But also a concern is that, okay, if we're relying on local power, a transmission line helps us if it's cloudy in Wisconsin and sunny in Iowa or vice versa. These transmission lines can help these localized power sources back each other up.
when you carry power a long distance, you do lose some of it as it's carried across these lines. And the reason to invest locally in facilities, like you see with Quilt Farm in Darlington and the Badger Hollow out by Dodgeville, is it's local generation. You don't lose that power. You diversify the sources of power. Wind tends to generate more at night than solar, obviously, during the day, and they back each other up. There's no good reason to import power from the far west except the fact that these utilities, who are the shareholders of ATC, have investments out there. ATC does not generate power. It does not sell power. It's a construction company that has a statutory guaranteed rate of return on its investment of 10.2%. This is just a way for them to make a massive profit. These utilities are not making money selling power, so they're trying to make money by building facilities that aren't needed.
We'll leave it there for now. Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Mike Van Sicklen, board president of the Driftless Area Land Conservancy, talking about the proposed Cardinal Hickory Creek transmission line. We also heard from a representative from American Transmission Company earlier in the hour. Coming up Monday on Central Time, there have been a lot of developments in the Mueller probe over the last week. We'll sort out the latest news about Michael Cohen, Paul Manafort, and Russian business deals. And restaurants are too darn loud for a lot of people anyway. We'll find out why more and more restaurants are pushing the decibel meter into the red and how some diners are pushing back. That's coming up Monday here on Central Time.